want you to turn to Numbers. I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And I want to move from this to our series that we've been talking about on freedom, the freedom series. 2 weeks ago, we talked about freedom from pride. Last week, we talked about freedom from critical spirit. Today, I want us to talk, and we'll probably journey in a couple of weeks on freedom from fear and worry. I want to ask you a question, very honest question. How many of you worried about something this week? Raise your hand. Raise it high. Okay. Yeah. Every one of us worried about something this week. Let me ask this other question. How many of you have struggled with some fears in this season of your life? Would you just raise your hand? Okay. You've got fears. Okay. Right. Right. How many of you want to be free from that? Yeah. How many of you want to be free from that? You know, I grew up as a fearful kid, fearful thunderstorms, you know, even though I love the rain. When hurricanes were coming up toward New Orleans, I walked in fear. I had a fear of dying young. From the time I was 10 years old, I was 27. And some of you have heard that story, and I won't belabor that. But at 27 years old, God set me free from that. And not only that, but what was happening in my life as a 10-year-old, when I began to receive that and then walked really in it in my early 20s, realized that my dad had it, my grandfather had it, and I don't know if my son remembers, but Jeremy at 10 years old talking about the same thing, and how God set us free from that. Of course, I'm 58 years old, so I'm not going to die so young, right? But I want to tell you there's freedom from fear and worry. And I think about, you know, seeing just your hands raised today. And I want to just say this and kind of try to be bold about it. What if the next time we ask the question, how many of you are worried about something, and only half of you raised your hands? And even less of you raised your hands about I'm struggling with some fears right now. Let me ask you, do you think that Jesus wants you to stay in a state of flux, of worry and fear, day after day after day after day? Do you think that's abundant life? No, that's not the abundant life. But it just seems to me that we position ourselves in our mind and our hearts, and sometimes physically, to just, that's what we're going to do. We're going to worry and we're going to walk in fear. After all that we've seen God do in our lives, after all the things that we worried about last year or the year before, and all the fears we had before, and how God came through, and we're going to worry again? We're going to walk in fear again? You know, the children of Israel were fears and warriors. You see it over and over in their journey. And in this passage of scripture, I just want to read this, okay? Just chapter 14. Let's just read the whole passage today. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before," and just these places, okay? "You shall camp in front of Baal Zephon, opposite by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the sons of Israel, 'They're wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in.' Thus," now watch this, God says, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all of the army, and the Egyptians will know that I am Yahweh." And so they did. And when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart toward the people, and they said, "What is this we've done? We've let Israel go from serving us." So he made his chariot ready, took his people with him. He took 600 select chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers all over them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel. And the sons of Israel were going out. Watch this. They were going out boldly. They were going out boldly. Now, I want to just give you this, the context, okay? There's just been 10 miracles, 10 plagues of Egypt, where time and time again, Moses would go into Pharaoh's court and say, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh would say, "No way." And so then you had these plagues of hail and darkness and grasshoppers and locusts and death to cattle. And then the angel of death passes, and all the firstborn of Egypt die. These Israelites saw the hand of God. They saw the miraculous power of God. Matter of fact, when they left Egypt, after 450 years of slavery, when they leave Egypt, they do this. They ask to Egypt, and all these folks they know, Egyptians, and they say, hey, give us your gold and give us your silver. And you know what the Egyptians do? They say, okay. Try that with somebody in the world. Hey, give me all your gold and silver. See if that works. No, it won't. But they say, okay. And here they were, bankrupt, enslaved. Here they were that worked by the sweat of their brow, 15 hours a day, no break. I mean, they toiled. And all of a sudden, they're free. And not only are they free, they're loaded. They're wealthy. They leave Egypt wealthy. They've seen the miraculous power of God. And they're going out boldly. They're going out confidently. Because when they look behind and they see slavery for generation after generation, and now this is the generation that's becoming free. And they're going out boldly. Rich, wealthy, free. And I want to tell you this also. With God before them. God is leading them. God is in their midst. God is in their camp. God is revealing themselves. He's going to reveal himself to him time after time after time. But Pharaoh, he's changed his mind. And what happens is that he starts running after them again. Look at verse 9. Then the Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, and they overtook them camping by the sea. And then, verse 10, and as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And here it is. They became very frightened. They got scared to death. Now, I want you to notice what he says here about this, because it's really, really, really important. I mean, they're fearful. And I just want to say this just really, really up front. It's in your notes. Do you know what fear is? Fear is oftentimes a presumption and a threat of loss and continual need. Let me tell you what it means. It means I see something happening in my life and I presume the worst. I presume that I'm going to lose something or I'm going to be in continual need. Children of Israel, they have fear. What are they presuming? We're going to die. That's their presumption. We're going to die. Well, let me tell you this, first of all. We're all going to die. Is that right? Unless God tarries? We're all going to die. So they're going to say, we're going to die right now. And it's a presumption. They're presuming something that's not true at all. And your fear and your worry is based oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes on presumption. I'm presuming I'm going to lose something. I'm going to lose my health. I'm going to lose my money. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my life. And I'm going to worry over things that oftentimes, most of the time, not every time, but most of the time, never, ever, ever happens. Let me ask you a question. Am I right? You know, there's those occasions that things come to our lives. They come in and they're hard and they're difficult. I'm not saying those things don't happen. But how often have we walked in worry and fear and worry and fear over something that never happens? Like Y2K. You remember Y2K? Yeah. Chance and Chelsea, they were married on that day. Okay. Well, everybody else was preparing. They were preparing for something better. And do you remember that? I mean, people moved to this area. Some of you might have done that. You moved to this area so you didn't get caught up in the computer failure. Some of you bought gold, and the guy was selling gold. He made a lot of money off of you. But we walked in fear. And you know, a lot of the things that I see in Facebook, mainly Facebook, a lot of things that I see us complaining about is just based on fear and presumption. It just is. And I want to just say this, is that we ought to not walk that way because of all the great things that God's done. But I want you to know they're frightened. They think they're going to die. They're presuming. There's this presumption of a threat of, I'm going to lose. I'm going to die. We're going to be in need again. You remember Job? When Job lost everything, do you know what he said? He said right on the screen, Job 3:25, "For what I fear has come upon me." Well, what did he fear? What came upon him? He lost his wealth, and he lost his kids, and he lost his health. Job's kind of a hard thing to talk about. It's a hard thing to understand, but I'm just kind of wondering if that's how the enemy attacks. What I feared has come upon me. And I just think about just how often the enemy uses things as far as fear and the presumption of loss. I Googled phobia this week, and the first one says, these are the 100 phobias that people have. And then there was like, you got some sites that got 200 or 300. I mean, there was one phobia, it had 15 words in it. And it was this long. And you know what the fear was? The fear of long words. It's the fear of long words. You read your book and you go, I'm afraid of that long word. I mean, that's just crazy. Fear of spiders. Fear of snakes. Right. Fear of death. Fear of small places. I realized the other day that, you know, I've got a kind of a fear of getting in the elevator. And it's not so much closed places, it's just closed places where you get stuck. You know? If I'm in a closed place that's got a door on it, I'm not going to fear it. But lock me in, I go crazy. You know, I think I told you I got stuck in an elevator this year. Matter of fact, I remember talking about fear and talking about mine, and I just, in that sermon said, you know, I've never been stuck in an elevator. It hadn't happened. And, I didn't die young, you know. Well, I got stuck in an elevator with 15 preachers. That's the honest truth. And I've always thought if I get stuck in an elevator, I'm going to go ballistic. And so I went ballistic on the inside. Man, I tried to maintain my composure in all these preachers. And someone says, anybody got a problem with this? And I could. I could. But I just sat there. Not sat there, stood there. And I want to tell you, everybody was quiet. And they were pushing and they were talking. And finally it got going. And we got out. And I want to tell you this, we didn't get another elevator the whole time, the rest of the time. We walked the steps. And it's stuck in the elevator. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. But I've got these fears. And I'm just going to tell you this. Fear will do something in your life that you won't move forward in. You won't move forward in. I mean, the very nature of my job sometimes means I got to get an elevator. I mean, if you're in a hospital and you're on the 7th, 4th, 8th floor, yeah, I've walked it. But anything above that, I got to get in the elevator. And so I get in the elevator. And it doesn't mean I can't get in the elevator. I get in the elevator. But sometimes it's still difficult. Just going to tell you. Sometimes it's still difficult. I've got people, smart Alex, when they get in with me, they go. And I say, stop it. Fear is a presumption that something's going to happen. For me, fear is the presumption that I'm going to get stuck. And this doesn't mean in the elevator. It could be in a traffic. I mean, it doesn't mean like I'm just fear, but I can just think after the 15th, 20th minute without moving, I start thinking a little bit that I shouldn't be thinking. Gas line, a line. And I just thought of that, you know. And, you know, my dad had a fear of that too. And, you know, one day he was talking about his doctor, and the doctor said, "Well, did you have asthma when you were a baby?" He said, "Yeah." And he said, "You know, there's a correlation to that. Well, I had asthma when I was a baby." Just really interesting. Now, I want to just tell you that so many of the things that we think about, that the enemy brings into our lives about what we're going to fear or we think is going to happen, is just all bogus. It's not the truth. Because of who God is and how great he is. Do you remember the disciples' fear in the boat? They had a fear of the loss of life, Mark chapter 4, verse 36 through 41. We won't turn there, but they're in a boat, and they're crossing a sea, and most of them are fishermen. They've been on this sea all their lives. And the waves come up, and Jesus is asleep, and they start panicking. And they start fearing. And they finally wake up Jesus and say, "Jesus, don't you even care that we're perishing?" Can I ask you a question? Were they perishing? No. They were not perishing. You think if Jesus is in your boat that you're going to perish? I mean, Jesus is in the boat with them. Let me ask you a question. If you're a Christ follower, do you believe that Jesus is in your life? Jesus is in your boat, isn't he? And storms come, and storms will come. And I want to tell you this. If you're the one that happens to die in something, well, guess what? The next breath, you're with Jesus forever. Amen. You're with Jesus forever. As I said this earlier in the opening remarks of the service, life is short, and it's too short to give in to your fears and worries. It just is. It's just too short, because I want to tell you, there's consequences to fear. There's consequences. You know this. What fear and worry does to us. Notice in our chat, in our passage of scripture, verse 10. As Pharaoh draws near, and the Egyptians are marching after him, they become very frightened. So the sons of Israel cry out to the Lord, and they say to Moses, "Now watch. Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is it not true? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians to die in this wilderness." I mean, all of a sudden they're forgetting. They're forgetting about the wealth in their hands. They're forgetting about the 10 plagues. They're forgetting about the mighty work of God. Listen, they're even forgetting what God does through Moses. They're forgetting. And as they forget the word, and they forget the promise, and they forget what God said he's going to do for them, that God's going to deliver them and going to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey, it's the promise of God. And they forget the word. And when you forget the word, you'll start worrying and walking in fear, because God has promised something different. Let me just tell you just four things real briefly, just in your notes. Let me tell you what fear and worry does and what's done to me. It can cause you to doubt God's character and goodness. It can cause you to doubt God's character and his goodness. Listen, God does what he says he's going to do. And God said to these folks, this is what he's going to do. And all of a sudden, they're looking back and they're seeing, they're pressed in. And from a physical standpoint, okay. But from a spiritual standpoint and what God has promised, no way. No way. And they're doubting and they're challenging God's character. They're challenging God's goodness. They're saying, look, we would rather serve the Egyptians than die in the wilderness. I don't know about you, but I'd rather die in the wilderness than be enslaved to anybody. To anything. Second thing it does, it produces false accusations. He's accusing them. They're accusing him of doing something wrong. Accusing Moses. "You're all wrong here. Listen, we wanted to stay. We didn't want to go out. We told you that, and now we're out." Well, you know, isn't it interesting how things change? I mean, they're marching boldly. And all of a sudden, they see the first sign of trouble, and they start walking in fear and worry. Let me ask you a question. Do you have that propensity? I have that propensity. I have that propensity in my flesh that everything can be going good, and I see a sign of something going bad, and the first thing I can say, oh, this is going to be bad. But you know what? What I want to say to you, and I've done this before, when somebody says, this is going to be bad, I say, don't say that. Because we serve a good God and a good Father who takes that which might be bad and makes it good. Amen? So whatever you're fearing right now, whatever you're worrying about, it may be hard, it may be difficult, it may be something that you might lose something. But I want to tell you this, our God is so good that he makes up for what you lose. And when you keep your eyes on him and off the storm and off the sea and off the army and off the enemy and you put them on Jesus, I want to tell you, it all changes. And I know everyone in here who's walked with Jesus knows that. But sometimes we just forget it, don't we? We just forget how great God is and what God has done and what God is doing in our lives. Even when things do not turn out the way we think they ought to turn out. Understand what fear and worry can do to you. It can cause you to doubt God's character and goodness. It can produce false accusations. It can produce wrong conclusions. We're going to die. That's what we're going to do. Well, no, you're not going to die. God's told Moses, I'm going to make Pharaoh, and I'm going to make him make me look great. And that's what he's doing. He's making himself look great because that's who he is. He's a great and he's a good father. The fourth thing is it'll cause you to forget what God's done. And that's exactly what we've been talking about. Proverbs 29:25 says, fear brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Now, I'm just going to say this happens to all of us. When we put our eyes, when we put our eyes and our lives and our face toward the things that make for fear instead of putting our eyes on the one that makes for peace. And we can see that all the time. So notice what he says. Verse 13. Children of Israel griping and complaining. They're making false accusations. They're forgetting God. They are walking in doubt. They're challenging God's character and goodness. They're accusing them about wrong things. And so and in verse 13, but Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which we will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you will never see them again. Now, this is what I want to ask you to do something. When you begin to walk in fear, I'm asking you to stop and remember what the Word of God says. And sometimes you need somebody to be able to say to you, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay because God makes it good. God makes it right. God comes and does things that just blow us away. When we thought in one moment we were done, in the next moment we're not just not done. I mean, we're growing and wonderful things are happening and taking place in our lives. Seen it over and over and over. Hailstorm beats on your roof. They pay you a whole lot more than you get it for. And all of a sudden, that which was bad became good. That happened to you? Okay, look at that. Amen. I'm just talking about just that kind of stuff. Things that we worry about that sometimes do happen. But God's got a plan. He's got a plan wherever you are. Whatever's going on in your life, he's got a plan. And I want to tell you, what Moses says is what I say, quit fearing. Just stop it. Just stop the fear and put your eyes on Christ and move forward. Notice the great proclamation is the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. And then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Get moving. Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. And as for you, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, divide it. And the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on the dry land. And as for me, behold, I'll harden the hearts of those Egyptians, and they'll go after you. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians will know that I'm the Lord, that I'm Yahweh, and I'm honored. I will be honored through Pharaoh and through his chariots and his horsemen. And the angel of God who had been going before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. And it came about that the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and there was this cloud along with the darkness, and yet it gave light. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by the strong east wind all night. And they went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and the waters were like wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And I can't help but think of Cecil D. DeMille in the Ten Commandments. That great director in Charlton Heston. It's a little boy seeing that come alive. Walking through the sea. And he looked down, and that army went down, God said to Moses, stretch out over the sea so the sea may come back over the Egyptians and over their chariots and over their horsemen. And he did it. And he opened the sea so you and I could walk right through it. My fears being drowned in perfect love. We just sang of it, didn't we? We just sung it. We declare it, that this is who our God is. This is what he's done. And this is what he continues to do. So here's the thought. I want to hear God say stop. And I want to trust him. And I want to believe him. And I want to move forward. You know, I just think about this whole thought. If I can trust what God says about me, if I can trust what God says he equips me to do, if I can trust what God says he's doing for me, and I just want to say, if I can do that, I want to say this as the church. We're not hand-wringers. We're not naysayers. We're not woe is me-ers. That's not a word, but I just made it up. We're not head-in-the-sand kind of people. We are people who love God and we love people. We're lovers of his word and what he says. We're not a go-back people. We're a moving forward people. Because that's where God is. He's ahead, leading you to the next glory, to the next miracle, to the next victory. We're not circumstance fearers. And if I can believe that's who we are in Christ, I'm going to tell you the next crisis could find us in peace. Now, I'm not telling you don't be concerned. But we don't wring our hands in fear. The sea comes open. And you know, I was thinking of this. I think next week we're going to preach a little bit more about this. But you know what fear does? It causes you to miss out on God's victory and God's blessing. That's what it does. I think of Gideon. Gideon, the youngest in his family, of the least of the tribes, and God chooses him to fight Midian in a very miraculous way. And he calls for the armies of the Lord. And you know what? 32,000 men show up. And you know what God says? Hey, it's too many. Hey, tell everybody who's fearful and afraid, they can go home. And they say, how many are you afraid? And 22,000 people raise their hands. We're afraid. Go home. They go home. And 22,000 people miss the opportunity of positioning themselves to see the glory of God. And I want to tell you, the things that God has asked you to do, did you hear all of what she said? There's a part of me that's kind of afraid. But she says, I'm moving forward. And it's okay to say you're afraid. But you must move forward. You must move forward. I have a grandson named Liam. I want you to watch this real quick. It's a 34-second clip.
I'm riding a horse. It looks like that. And I love it.
And you love it?
I used to be scared, but now I can feel my
you face your fear?
I faced my fear while I was riding a horse. I got scared. No, I'm not. I love horses.
All right.
I faced my fear doing it.
Good.
When Paul put me on, I got a scale. It's two times, but then I faced my fear.
Now I love horses because I faced my fear. Didn't want to get on, and he didn't want to get on. And you know, leave it to me, who never gets on a horse, to put him on the horse. And to say we face our fears. And if he'd never gone on the horse, he'd miss out. And I think about the things we miss out because of fear and worry. Oh, one of the things, again, and I'll tell you again, if I fear this stuck in elevators, but if I don't face it, then I don't do what I'm supposed to do in this life. I'll never get in a car in traffic if I let that fear get over me. I'll never get in an elevator to go see somebody in the hospital, and I'll miss out. I think about this whole thought of being trapped. I would never get on a plane to China in fear I'd get stuck in the country, which I've done before. Got stuck in a country. By the way, when I got in the plane, you would think I was on the embassy in Vietnam getting out last. That's how crazy it is. But that's what fear does. It's crazy. It's stupid. John Ann says, don't say that word, but that's what it is. It is. Now listen, you got to be smart, because presumption can go the other way, right? It's another ditch in presumption. I mean, that's what Satan was telling Jesus when he said, get on the temple and jump off and watch God save you. Well, listen, you don't do that. That's presumption. It's the wrong, another kind of ditch of presumption. There's things that we're smart about. You know, some of you are afraid of crowds, so you have a hard time getting to church that's a bit larger for your likes, and then you miss out the blessing that church offers. Some of you are not using your gifts for the church's advancement in the world. You fear and worry you wouldn't have the time, or you wouldn't do a good job, or you don't have the skill set. And then you worry so much that you miss the opportunities that God has for you. You're scared of giving the tithe and giving what God has for you, but then you miss out on the blessing of when you give. And you miss out because of your fear or your assumption. And that, what happens is you don't step out, and what happens is you miss the God-anointed, God-inspiring, God-empowering, this God-adventure life. And life is too short to miss life by our fears. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of today? What is it that has frozen you? You know, one of the most difficult things that we can do, that we do in this life, is to make new friends. It's hard. You know, when you get to church, and it's new, and you got to make friends, it's just hard, you're fearful that maybe you won't be liked, or you'll be missed over. And you don't make the effort because of fear, and then what happens is 2-3 years go by, 4 years, you're in church, and you've not connected. Not only have you missed out, but we've missed out. And I think that's sometimes the biggest fears that we have, especially as Christians, when we get to new places. We have a fear of rejection, or we have a fear that it's not going to work out, or just whatever. What are you afraid of today? Are you afraid that the circumstance that you're in will never be resolved? Maybe you are. But I want to tell you this. Face the fear. But I want to tell you how to face it. We face it by getting our face off what makes us afraid and putting our face on Jesus. We look at the problem, we look at the threat, we look at the things that we assume is going to be taken away from us, and we look at Jesus, who leads us through. And God raises the staff, and he splits the sea, and you got that pillar of fire that you get to follow in Christ through the sea. And before you know it, you're on the other side, and you don't even go, whew, you go, wow, God did it again. And I wasted a day, 2 days, a week. I wasted a month. I wasted 2 months, 6 months. I wasted a year walking in fear and worry and anxiety when God came along and fixed it like he always does. My prayer for you today as you reflect, and I'm going to, won't have an invitation this morning, but I just want to just remain silent for just a moment and ask the question, would you take whatever you're worried about that you raised your hand over or that you're fearful and right now place it at the feet of Jesus? Would you do that right now in your mind? Just do that. Lord, I take this fear and I commit it into your hands and I commit it at your feet. And in the name of Jesus, just say this, in the name of Jesus, I will not pick it back up. You're a good God. Say it to him. You're a good God and you're a good Father. And I am no longer a slave to fear. Ask God to do this. God, would you show me a word this week? Would you send somebody my way to encourage me, to affirm this word today? I lay this at your feet, and I release it to you. Now let's say this in your spirit. And Lord, I receive your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Which means I don't have to understand it. I can just give it to you and receive your peace. And Lord, I pray that for this church family today. We've all had some fears here lately. But God, we made it here today. We made it in a car. We got here, Lord. And we stood and we sat and we sang and we prayed and we heard and we saw. And Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. And as you've done it before, you'll do it again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So the next couple of weeks, just feel led to continue to talk about, especially about worry. Give us some strategy. Give us some place, some things to really do and really apply so that we can walk in this season of our life from our struggles and from all these things that have caused fear to no longer walk in fear. Would that be okay? Let's do that. Let's stand together and let's pray for peace. Let's bless for peace, okay? Yeah. All right. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. May he guard your going out and your coming in. May you see Jesus at every turn. May you fix your eyes on him and not the things that make for fear. And may the peace of God envelop you. Men, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. God bless you. Go in peace. Amen.